This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready for an actual series, Keith?
No. No, Jones, I'm not. I was not ready for that last night, I'll tell you that much. There goes my sweep. You can sweep my sweep prediction right out the room. What the hell happened there? They're up 20. You're like, this is how the series is going to go. Kick back and relax. They can score anytime they want. The Knicks don't play any defense. I'm like, all right, this is good. And then wait a minute. We got ourselves a ball game.
I mean, Wiggy just spent 5 minutes telling us to blow up the team. Wiggy's done with this team.
He said he's sick of the team. And then he's like, well, I'm not sick of the team. Don't get me wrong. But you're sick of the team. They just won the title. I don't know. If you think they're going to lose the series after they lose one game, then I don't know how strongly you felt about them to begin with. Right? Like, I don't think the Knicks are going to win this series. Now, it doesn't mean there isn't a lot to pick apart from the game last night and how wildly frustrating it is to see a team miss 45 threes. And you know what's funny is they didn't take a lot of threes against the Magic. The Magic did a good job at running them off the line and making sure they didn't shoot a lot of threes. So it was almost like they had a lot to make up for. They're like, oh, it's been a while since we've been able to heave it from deep. So let's do that all game long. And That's how you lose a game.
That is absolutely how you lose a game. Plenty of time to talk about this today on Jones and Keefe at 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on the Celtics overtime loss, 108-105 to the Knicks at TD Garden last night, a game where the Celtics launched 63s, missed 45, which is an NBA playoff record, and I think they'd still be shooting. If the game didn't end, like, they would still be hucking him up.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum, 0 for 7 in the fourth quarter. I think he was 2 for 11, if I'm not mistaken, in the second half. A poor night for him when you needed him to step up in a big spot. He did not. So a lot to discuss here today on Jones and Keefe. Again, it's 617-779-7937. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. And watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. How'd they lose it, Keith? They're up 20 in the third quarter. How'd they lose it?
I mean, no team, I think, has ever taken their foot off the gas pedal as much as the Celtics. And it was like they were up 20. They thought the game was over, much like me. The difference being, I'm not on the floor like they are. And then they just started settling for shots. They weren't hitting shots. It also then affected their defense. So then their defense wasn't as good. And the Knicks all of a sudden started to like chip away at it, and they had enough time to bring it all the way down to the end. And then you get into overtime, and I don't know if it was just all the bad habits from the second half or what it was, but it's almost like, all right, you guys screwed up in the second half, but here's 5 more minutes to just redeem yourself, right? Like, so part of me was like, are they going to be able to at least shake that off and figure it out?
Didn't you think they would?
I kind of did. Like, yeah,
When Brunson missed that runner at the end of regulation, I'm like, well, there goes their chance.
And he was the clutch player of the year as presented by Kia.
Correct.
And he misses that shot. So, yeah, Brunson and Tatum both kind of had chances at the end of regulation. And then the end of overtime was just ridiculous. That throw into Jalen Brown.
Oh, the
and
turnover.
Get stole from him. Like, you get a shot attempt?
Nope.
Brutal. But, yeah, they didn't have it.
No.
They didn't have it in the second half. Porzingis going down obviously doesn't help, but it shouldn't be the it is not the reason.
You beat the Knicks twice this year without Porzingis.
Correct.
Honestly,
correct.
I don't want to hear that today. Would he have helped? Sure. I thought he was due for a big series, to be honest. Some of us were looking for the third leg of our parlay, a couple of threes for Porzingis last night. Still waiting for him to take one.
Yeah.
Never mind make one. Never mind score a basket in the game last night. So ideally you have Porzingis out there, but don't give me that today. Like, oh, if they have Porzingis, it's a different game. They don't need him. They didn't need him to win a title a year ago. They didn't need him against New York to sweep the Knicks this year. Two of the games he missed, they won both. You do not need him. So I don't want to hear that today. You want to yell at the coach? Go ahead. You want to yell at Tatum? Go ahead. Nick's all fired up about Jaylen Brown back there. Wiggy wants to blow up the team. I think Nick wants to trade Jaylen, if I'm not mistaken. Is that what you want to do?
Another three. We're on our way.
He was one
Leave
for 10.
Leave OG and Anobi alone in the corner. We're on our way.
Yep. One for 10.
Not
from
great.
Three.
Not great.
The Jays, the Flying Jays,
Yeah.
They were 14 of 43 from the field.
I would like a few more makes there.
That's a wild number.
As Rich Keefe likes to say,
mix in a couple makes. Yeah, that was just wildly frustrating, and I'm telling you, like, it seeped into their defense, and all of a sudden they like forgot how to even play defense in the second half. I mean, that third quarter was brutal.
I think I tried to say this yesterday. The Magic probably lulled them into like, oh yeah, teams make open shots. They're like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah,
like they probably got thrown off by playing the. It's not an excuse for them,
right?
But it's just this is what a real offense looks like. Not Orlando. This is what a real offense looks like. This is an NBA team that can make shots, like most teams in the NBA,
true.
Not the Orlando Magic,
true.
But most teams. So they probably got lulled into that. They forgot teams make open jumpers.
We were trying to figure out a way for the Knicks. Yesterday, like, how do they win the series or even win a few games? And I was like, I don't know, like, Drew Holiday's hamstring barks up at him again, and like Porzingis goes down.
Yep.
And so part of that came true. But the other thing we should have mentioned, and maybe we just haven't seen it enough, is there are nights like this with the Celtics where they just miss a million threes and they keep taking them. They keep taking them. And Mazzulla's like, yep, do that. And every player on the court is comfortable doing that. And they just miss them. That's why we said they'd be a scary NCAA tournament team. Like, to bet on. Because
right.
They, first round against Santa Clara, they miss every shot. You're like, wait, what are they doing? What happened?
Oh.
No, scary, like, to bet on.
I see. I thought you were saying they're Wofford. They're making
their
threes.
They're not Wofford. No. They're like the juggernaut, but then they just miss every shot and they're out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they lose.
They're St. John's.
I don't think they lose, like, a seven-game series, but a one-off. Because they just brick everything and they don't change how they play. Like, yeah, they'd be terrifying to bet on.
All right, the shot selection was just awful last night. Here's the stat that jumped out to me. The Celtics were 15 for 60 on threes. Those 45 misses are the most in NBA playoff history.
Yeah.
They took 49 shots in the second half, Keith. 37 were threes.
Good.
They only made 10.
They took 37 total twos in the game. So they took 60 threes. They took 37 twos.
So they got in at halftime. I heard Curtis say this driving in. They get in at halftime. They're like, more of that. Like, what? Let's jack up
Let
more threes
fly,
if you don't mind. And so they just kept shooting. And in the case of Jason Tatum, who was 0 for 7 in the fourth quarter, 0 for 5 from 3. The only makes were free throws for Tatum in the entire fourth quarter. Some people want him to be MVP. That's not going to get it done.
MVP of what?
Constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly settling. We talked about this for days, going back to last week, once we knew it was New York, or at least we thought it was going to be New York.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to bully Brunson. He's going to bully Towns. Where was that in the fourth quarter? Constantly settling. Step back threes. Taking threes. Not going to the basket, which I find to be wildly frustrating with him. Joe Mazzulla, though, don't tell him. Joe Mazzulla has no problem with the shot selection last night. Just a couple maybe you want back. Here's Mazzulla.
Were you satisfied with the shot selection in that second half?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, obviously, over the course of the game, you always can find, 5-10 shots that you want to be better at. But, I thought throughout the night, for the most part, we fought for good looks, throughout the game. But, yeah, I mean, you can find 5 to 10 that we could be better at.
I could find 5 from Tatum in the fourth quarter.
So 50 to 55 of the threes were good. 5 to 10, though, you'd like to have back. Maybe do it a little bit differently. But yeah, right. I mean, each guy you could look at. I mean, Tatum was 4 of 15 from three.
I got 5
Brown
from
was 1 of 10.
I didn't like, and I know some of them were open. If he makes them, it's a different story. But like in retrospect, he was settling on every three in the fourth quarter. Lop those 5 off right there. There's 5 from Tatum. I just found 5.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You could easily go there. No, but like I don't mind. And we're so used to them taking a ton of threes. But don't you like it when it's a little bit closer to, let's say, 45 three attempts, 45 two attempts. Like, somewhere in there, it's a little bit closer to 50-50. But then also, like, how's the night going? Is it a night where one or two guys are lights out? Or is it a night where everybody's ice cold and you just proved last series? And I know the Magic don't have the offense that the Knicks do, but you just proved last series that you can go to the free throw line and hit free throw. You can make twos and you can win that way. And it's not like you were down 20 And you're saying, well, the quickest way to get back in this is shoot threes. No, you were up 20, and then you let that whole lead bleed away, but then you still had overtime to play.
Just the paint-by-numbers approach is so frustrating, where it's like, oh, we're just shooting 55, 60 threes every single night. And to your point, Keith, some nights you don't have it. Some nights the team on the other side is a joke defensively. Get Ananobi off Tatum. Bring a screen over. Get Ananobi off Tatum. Get him matched up on Brunson. Get him matched on Towns. Hunt those matchups and go to the hoop. And some nights that's what you need to do.
Well, like the first half, even though they weren't hitting their threes, they were still, it seemed like they were getting kind of what they wanted, and Tatum seemed really comfortable. And you're like, oh, this is classic. This is classic Tatum versus the Knicks during the regular season, and they're going to be fine. You're like, man, they're up, what was it? They were up 16 at the half, but they weren't hitting threes. And you're like, oh, this could be a bloodbath. Honestly, idiot me thinking about my Tatum parlay. I'm like, he might not even play the fourth quarter. I'm like, he might not get the points because he might not play.
That is scary. There's nothing more scary than that.
They might rest him. I was stupid. And maybe they thought the same thing because the next thing you know, the Knicks came flying by in the high speed lane.
So what'd you think of the Celtics shot selection last night? Who do you blame for the loss? I saw the Greg Hill Show poll today. They were talking about it. Missoula, Tatum, Brown. You can jump in on that again at 617-779-7937. Let me ask you this, Keith.
Yeah.
Do we have an actual series?
No.
No?
I don't. I really don't.
The last time the Celtics trailed in a series was the Eastern Conference Final against Miami. That's the last time they were down in a series 2 years ago.
I don't, and I think it's, I still think it's a really good matchup for the Celtics. They needed to miss a historic number of threes in order to lose the game in overtime. So not trying to be too positive after a loss, because that was frustrating. They shouldn't have lost that game. But going into the series, I thought they were so much better than the Knicks, and they just matched up so well against the Knicks that I don't think it's going to happen. Like, I don't think New York is going to find a way. I think the Celtics blow them out in game two. Then they've been
I'm with you on that.
So that happens.
The Knicks have already come to Boston and done what they needed
They're
to
good.
Do.
They're good.
Game two is going to be a bloodbath, but I disagree with you. I think we have a series.
Do you?
Yes.
The Celtics have been such a good road team this year.
I'm not picking the Knicks to win
but you did say six at the beginning of the series.
Correct. I don't think the Celtics are, oh, it's just one game. They're going to win the next four. It's over in five. They're going to dominate. Like, I don't think that. I think the Knicks are going to push them a little bit. And I'll stand by the six I had going in. I'm not picking the Knicks in the series. But, yeah, while New York has no chance in game two, bet the house on the Celtics in game two, I do think it's a series.
Because I think with this team, they probably don't shoot this poorly again as a team from three. And even if they do, this came down to a coin flip.
Well,
so it wasn't like they shot this poorly and the Knicks routed them.
Are the Knicks going to miss 14 free throws in another game?
Yeah, well, if Mitchell Robinson's on the line, maybe.
Mitchell Robinson might. Actually, I have a whole separate thought on that. You want to do that now?
Sure. Okay. I don't like it.
Me neither.
I don't like it.
So Missoula didn't even come up with it. The Pistons were doing it. So you stole it from a team that lost last round, number one. So it's not even like Missoula can take credit for it.
Yeah.
You don't think you can beat this team straight up?
But also,
you got to resort to hack a scrub strategy in the game. I don't like it.
So you can't defend them. So you need to take the worst free throw shooter, put him on the line, and do that. Because one of the hack a Shaq philosophies was also, hey, maybe you make the other team consider taking Shaq out of the game.
Right.
What do you want Mitchell Robinson out of the game for? Leave Mitchell Robinson out there. It's a void of a player on offense. Yeah. So he's in there because Karl-Anthony Towns is in foul trouble, which he did a good job with early on in the game. Then you get Mitchell Robinson. Don't make them take Mitchell Robinson out. Just defend them. And also, I've always thought this, and I guess, you know, Popovich would do it against Shaq and other teams would do it against Shaq, but it also really interrupts the flow of your offense.
Bingo.
Significantly.
It disrupted the whole flow
of
the game.
So I really don't like it unless, again, it's the superstar Hall of Fame player on the other side who can't shoot free throws, and you're more of a, like, if this was the 2008 Celtics who only scored 90 points as it is and they want to grind you out, fine. That might be a little bit better for them, but not for this team.
Or you're down and it's the fourth quarter and you got to steal some possessions and Mitchell Robinson's out there?
Yeah.
Fine. But like,
not this. Like, you're like, wait, what are you doing?
The second quarter? You love what you saw so much out of the Detroit Pistons. You love that so much that you had to steal it from them and start screwing around. You can't beat the Knicks straight up. I hated that. I thought that was a loser strategy early on in the game, and I would get away from it, quite frankly. But that's a minor gripe about last night. There are bigger gripes. 617-779-7937. What happened to Jason Tatum? People came into the game saying he's the best player in the playoffs. Couldn't make a shot in the fourth quarter last night. He would be front and center for the loss last night, as is Joe Mazzulla. You can jump in with all your thoughts on a Tier Tuesday. We're going to tier off the biggest losers in sports. I know we're going to get into some losers who actually won. Should we add Tatum to the list? Maybe we should get Tatum mixed in there in
Not
Tier
yet.
Tuesday. That comes your way at 11:30. We got a Kiefer Madness at 12:45. Stay tuned for it. And it's a two for Tuesday. You want to win tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Braves on May 17th at Fenway Park? You'll have your first of four chances to do that on a two for Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe.
You know, probably some times that we settled, I think, for myself. Could have put more pressure on the rim. But there's a lot of times we felt like we got some really, really good looks, and we just couldn't convert.
Tier Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. Jason Tatum, after that performance last night, I kind of want to put him in the losers who won tier. Keith.
Can't do it.
Why not?
Can't do it. He's a winner.
Biggest losers in sports.
He's a winner.
We'll be doing that at 11:30 on a Tier Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to all your thoughts on Jason Tatum. Lackluster performance, to put it mildly, last night. But it's also a two for Tuesday on WEEI.
What is it?
It's a two for Tuesday.
Two for Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Be caller 9 right now to the contest line, 617-931-0937. And if you have today's code word, you'll score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Braves on May 17th at Fenway Park. And caller 9 right now to the contest line, 617-931-0937. If you have the code word, two tickets, Red Sox, Braves, May 17th, Fenway Park, two for Tuesday here on WEEI. We'll give away another pair 1 hour from now at 11:30. We've been doing it all day long here on WEEI. Your thoughts on Tatum last night, Keith?
Couldn't throw it in the ocean there by the end. I thought he started out really confident looking and sort of like what we expected, what I expected for him to be in the series. The shot wasn't falling really throughout the game, but I thought he was getting good shots, and he was, you know, dishing out assists. He grabbed a million rebounds overall in the game. So, like, I thought he had his fingerprints on it, but like everybody, with the exception of, what, one guy, two, maybe Drew Holiday, like nobody could hit shots last night. So I thought he'd have a huge advantage. I thought, you know, we mentioned how Towns can't cover him. Brunson on a switch certainly can't cover him. Like, I thought he would have plenty of options to have a much more efficient game, because this is where the issues with Tatum and some of the playoff performances have come in. Maybe the reason he didn't win Finals MVP last year, even though they won that series in five games. Maybe the reason why he struggled so badly against the Warriors a couple years ago in the NBA Finals. Just not efficient, like not hitting nearly enough shots, turning the ball over too many times. That combination is just is brutal for him.
So the Greg Hill Show put out a poll earlier today. You can vote at the Greg Hill Show on Twitter. Sizable amount of votes. They said, who's most at fault for the loss? Mazzulla, Tatum, Brown, Porzingis. Only 33% say Tatum. Most people are saying Mazzulla there. I voted Tatum.
Yeah.
Because when your best player can't buy a bucket in the fourth quarter, you're not going to win in a close game in the NBA playoffs.
Tough.
You can blame the coach all you want. Twitch chat's yelling at me already. They're like, oh, Jones is just focusing on Tatum. He's ignoring Brown. He's pretending Brown didn't play last night.
No, Brown was not good.
Jaylen wasn't good either. But who was worse out of those two? Tatum had five turnovers. Tatum was one of the only minus players on the team in the starting lineup. He was the only minus player last night. He did grab rebounds. He had a handful of assists. He shot poorly. Brown shot poorly. I would always look at Tatum before Brown when you struggle like he did last night. When the team loses, yeah, I would start with the best player. And to me, Tatum was awful.
No, I think you have to look at Tatum. So with Mazzulla, I don't know. It's kind of like Alex Cora, isn't it? Like, I'm not going to put him as the number one guy to blame, because I'm also never going to give him the number one guy to give credit to.
I'm assuming the people blaming Mazzulla, maybe it's somewhat for the Mitchell Robinson thing, which bothered me.
Sure.
But I'd imagine it's mostly for the shot selection. Is Mazzulla telling Tatum to settle for step back threes, or is Tatum settling for step back threes?
I think all those guys have the green light to do it, and Mazzulla's not going to step in and stop them. But I don't know how many coaches are going to do that. Like, when this is the way they've played all year,
Mazzulla already used his card to yell at Tatum earlier in the playoffs.
Told him to get up.
I don't think he's going to be yelling at him about his shot selection.
No, I would think it's more on Tatum and Brown just to get the good shots, and if they realize that those aren't falling and they want to go to the basket because it's a close game, you don't need to just take threes every single time. I'd put that more on them than on Mazzulla. So I'd probably say Tatum and Brown, 1-2. I mean, they're your two best players. If and when they win this series, I'll probably give those two guys the most credit. That's usually how it goes. That's what happens when you're the superstar player, the all-NBA player. So, yeah, I think it's fair to put it on those guys.
I mean, that's where I would look. And I would put more blame on Tatum than I would put on Jaylen Brown last night. He's the better player, so it's pretty simple. He was also just, I think, worse in the game, which is why I would start there. But no, it's just, it's an interesting spot for the Celtics to be in, and I'm curious how Tatum responds. I imagine the Celtics win going away on Wednesday in Game 2, but they haven't been pushed much, Keith. You may forget, early on in the postseason, they dropped Game 2 at home in each of the first two rounds, Miami and Cleveland, a year ago, so they were even in those series. But they never trailed last postseason.
No,
they were never in this spot where they dropped a Game 1 at home. They've been a bad home team all year, you know, by championship standards, a bad home team all year. So the last time they were in this spot, they were down 0-3 against Miami 2 years ago. They were down the series prior to that against Philly 3-2. And so they have not been down. They haven't been pushed. And they're not on the brink of elimination. These aren't elimination games where you're one game away from getting knocked out like they were against Philly and like they were against Miami. But this is the most they've been pushed in some time. And I'm curious how they respond. I'm curious how Tatum responds because I did not like what I saw last night.
No, I didn't either. But I'm not going to change after one game because I like the matchup so much for the Celtics.
Well, you got to change something. You had a sweep. So you got to change
out.
Something.
Well, that's out.
But you're still picking the Celtics in the series.
I'm taking them in the series.
As am I.
And I also, I would say, you know, you're probably sitting pretty at six games. But I think it's still more likely to go Celtics in five than it would Celtics in seven. Like, if I had to choose between those two,
I would probably lean that way, too.
Right, if you had to pick one of those, you know,
I pick six coming in. I would stick with six, but what's more, do I see the Knicks pushing them to seven even with the win last night?
Yeah.
That's too much.
Remember famously Paul Pierce when he was working for ESPN after the Celtics with Kyrie Irving beat the Bucks in game one? He's like, this one's over. It's a wrap. And then the Bucks won four straight games.
Yeah.
So like you see it all the time. In fact,
Allen Iverson wins a game in the NBA Finals and the Lakers, you know,
Nuggets,
won four in a row. Yeah.
Nuggets beat the Thunder. Mm-hmm. The Pacers beat the Cavs. And then we got game one tonight between the Warriors and the T-Wolves. But, yeah, all the lower seeds have won, at least so far here in the second round.
So, how much blame is on Tatum for last night? Is this a series? Celtics and Knicks. Now, the Knicks have taken game one. It seems obvious, and yet I think most of us still have a deep belief in the Celtics, certainly to win this series. So you can jump in. Bob is in Londonderry. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thanks.
I had a different opinion. Meaning yesterday, I'm listening to everybody saying there was a good chance they'd sweep them. I did not think they would. And I'm still from last year's – I'm in the other camp last year, meaning I know they won the championship, but I still think they won it with an asterisk. You know why they won? They weren't playing complete teams that they would have had a hard time with. And I think this year it's going to be a test to see how things go.
Bob, you give a lot of championship asterisks out?
Well, you do.
I'm sorry. What was that? I'm sorry?
Bob, do you give a lot of championship asterisks out? Like, was last year the first time that teams played other teams that didn't have all their guys?
Well, hang on.
No. They're not the first. They'll not be the last. But even looking at Tatum, I've always been like some of your other callers have said, when you don't need him, he can do a lot of good things, but a lot of times when the pressure's on, he doesn't always come through at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know that I fully agree with that. Like, you know, he's come through against Milwaukee in big spots. You know, he's come through in big spots before. So I think that's probably too strong. But I said going into the series, I don't trust him in the clutch the most on the floor, more so than Jalen Brunson, even more so than Jaylen Brown. So, and after watching Anunoby last night, I'm starting to rethink that one. But when it comes to putting asterisks on titles, you
I don't put an asterisk by it. I throw it away altogether.
No. Okay,
I remove the bubble.
It's just out.
There's no asterisk by it.
I think if
asterisk, you should say LeBron shouldn't get the other title for when Draymond Green got suspended when he won in Cleveland. Toss that one out.
That's just one game.
Kawhi Leonard beat the Warriors when they had no players. Toss that one out.
Yeah,
even worse than what happened last year.
I kind of want to throw out the Giannis one once we started talking about it.
Giannis.
Look,
they played nobody. You're good call. Toss that one out.
I am okay with championship asterisks and throwing them out.
Which is
why I point that out with the Celtics all the time. I'm not taking down the banner, but like, let's talk about how easy of a path they had last year. And when you run into some healthy teams, it doesn't look the same.
Yeah, but how good are the Knicks? I guess what I'd boil it down to. I don't think they're great.
But this is making my point. Like, just a team that isn't even that great is already giving them way more trouble than they dealt with.
Yeah,
last
I mean
year
they're up, they're down
because
one
you're
zip.
Facing healthy teams.
Well, they never
that's
lost
a big difference.
They never lost two games last year in a series, and so they still haven't done that yet, right? Like this is still one game, but I don't know. I mean, if you go through that, there's a lot of teams that didn't have healthy opponents along the way. The only one that I really do that to is the one where they literally stopped the season for months and then moved everybody inside of a bubble where there were no fans or road games.
Look, I'm okay with taking away Giannis's, but we got to take away Tatum's as well. That's all. Eddie is in the car. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, guys. Hello.
What?
I heard Greg Hill talking about the robot uprising today. Apparently they're calling it Sports Talk Radio is what's going on.
I didn't see that video. I heard them talking about it. I got to look that up.
I didn't see it either. I wanted to go seek that out, but yeah.
So apparently there was a robot that was being restrained and then like got up and went after the guy?
Yeah, and apparently Scheim has no concerns whatsoever.
Scheim's not worried about it at all.
No.
Evidently. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'd be a little bit more concerned about it.
It sounded scary is what it sounded like.
Maybe I've seen too many movies, but I feel like that would be pretty significant.
But Eddie, part of the robot uprising calling it.
Well, get him next time, Ed.
You can jump in, 617-779-7937. All your thoughts on Jason Tatum, the Celtics, their loss last night, shot selection, who to blame for all of it, and we have another pair of tickets to give away on a 2-for Tuesday, Red Sox and Braves, May 17th. At Fenway Park, that's at 11:30, as is Tier Tuesday, the biggest losers in sports. And let's get to Kristaps Porzingis. We started to have enough of his in the lineup, out of the lineup, can't trust him situation. We'll get to that next.
Yeah, I haven't seen him yet, but we'll check on him. But, I mean, obviously it impacts the game with his ability on both ends of the floor. And you know, it obviously changes sub patterns. It changes the things that you know, you're able to do matchup-wise and play call frequency wise. So yeah, I mean, I think we felt, but you know, it's no excuse. We had plenty of opportunities to do it, and hopefully he's ready for game two.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Mazzulla on Kristaps Porzingis, his latest malady, which is quite a list with that guy.
So he was not on the injury report going into the game.
No.
It was a clean bill of health for everybody, including Holiday, who was the one guy we were most concerned with.
Correct.
Porzingis, you always are operating under some concern, like Gronk. Right, yeah. Or Time Lord, you're always like, it's only a matter of time.
Right. He doesn't even need to step on the court. Just anytime he steps, you're oh boy.
I mean, he's in jeopardy of hitting a ceiling or like a doorway at all times, right?
Right.
So
right.
You're just wondering, like, is he going to be all right? But he plays the game. He's playing poorly, like a lot of the guys are, shooting poorly poorly.
He fit in when he was out there, yeah.
And then he's out, and you're like, he's out sick. And you're like, what? Like, it's not
COVID.
Guys, don't even think about COVID. We gave him a rapid test. It came back negative.
It's a non-COVID.
They have a pile of rapid tests still that everybody dumped off there.
Why do they do that?
I don't know.
It is, guys,
we don't clear the building. It is COVID. Clear the building.
Guys, we don't know what it is.
I have no idea.
It's not COVID.
Don't worry about non-COVID illness. It's like, wait, is the trots? Like, what? So what's the problem?
Wait, is that the code word in 2025? Is that what it's is when you
trots.
Say you're like, I gotta go. I just can't stop crapping. You just call it a non-COVID illness
in
your everyday life?
What else could prevent you from being on the floor? Like, if you start the game, it's not like you are, you know, have like the worst fever, headaches, and like you just can't even, I mean, the shakes, can't even get out of bed.
Throwing up. I mean, it could be that. But
both ends. Yeah, maybe it's out of both ends.
Sure.
The game playoffs. Tonight has been postponed. You are all safe.
It's non-COVID for Porzingis.
Yeah, seriously.
So wear your mask.
Guys,
everything's going to be fine.
Guys, whatever. Yeah, we wrap it down.
And you can visit OKCThunder.com for updates on upcoming games.
Great.
Awesome.
Tremendous.
Looking forward to that. Yeah, but I don't really understand. Like, all of a sudden something happened, and then he was done, and he was out of the game. So is it like, is it food poisoning? Is it something else? They were mentioned on the broadcast last night. They're like, he had stuff earlier in the year. We don't really know what it was. Remember, it was pretty mysterious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good
Remember,
point.
Remember, he had like a weird illness thing, and he was out for games, and we were trying to figure that out, too. What is it?
I'm not Wiggy blowing up the team, but I am a little fatigued with the Porzingis experience.
It's a lot.
There's a lot to complain about with the Celtics. A lot of bad news there. Let me give you some good news, Keith.
Yeah, please.
Nothing Bundt Cakes.
I just scarfed like three of them down.
B-U-N-D-T. Yeah. Clever name.
I love the name.
They dropped off two boxes of these just delectable.
Bill, you want to get in here before I eat them all.
Little,
these are good.
Little like.
I'll pop in next break.
Yeah. I'm going to call it a two-bite cake. I think I needed two. You got them in one?
Well, yeah, one bite. I have a huge mouth. The one-bite cake.
Nothing Bundt Cakes.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, I had not tried these before. Multiple locations. I saw Needham. I see Burlington. I had a few other local locations that I saw up there. Pre-order all your Mother's Day gifts if you'd like to get in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Some nice snackable cakes. Some people eat them in one bite.
Sure.
Like Rich Keefe.
That's right.
Others have manners like me and eat them in two bites.
It's a speed game during the break. It's a speed game.
But Nothing Bundt Cakes. Go check it out. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Big shout out to them for dropping those off. Unexpected surprise here today. What is a lowly day otherwise?
Sad day.
With the Celtics and their struggles. Are you fatigued with the Porzingis experience?
I'm kind of used to it, I think, right now. I think I would be more concerned as, I think, other teams that he was on when he was the second best player. Or, you know, when he first was with the Knicks, they were kind of billing him as like he was going to be the best player on the team.
Yep.
That's tough. Yep. He missed a whole season in there. Even when he's with Dallas, it was supposed to be him and Luka. So you're like, are you relying on him? Then he gets hurt. Here, he's at best your third guy, at worst like your fifth or sixth guy. So it's like, I don't know. It's kind of like how you were able to get him. It's kind of part of the deal.
When I say done, it's just annoying.
Like, no, the whole thing is just annoying. But I'm kind of used to it, I guess.
Terp popped in the break.
Yeah,
this is not normally Terp's side of the street, but Terp popped in. He's like, take a look at Porzingis's playoff numbers in Boston.
Yeah, well, he's had a lot of games where he didn't finish. Right.
True.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point.
That skews some of the numbers.
Maybe that limits his total. Like last night.
What's his per 48?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I need to go back to my Skybox cards to get my 48-minute projections. Tatum in Boston. These are playoff numbers.
Porzingis.
I'm sorry, Porzingis. It feels like Tatum last night. And you make a good point, Keith. He leaves a lot of games early, so that probably takes a chunk out of the numbers.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. The best ability is availability.
11 points per game.
Huh?
11.2. Eesh. 4.9 rebounds a game. He's 7'3".
Yeah, you should fall into a few of those.
4.9 rebounds a game. 1.2 blocks. He is shooting. And this is not skewed at all by leaving the game early.
No, these are the numbers.
Under 48%, 398, 261 from three. That's in what? That is 13 playoff games in Boston and 10 starts.
Pure hoops.
That is. That is pure hoops right there.
Pure gross hoops. Out of Porzingis.
I thought this was a good matchup for him, though.
Me too.
You know, he had two games against the Knicks in the regular season. He averaged just under 25 points per game in those games. I thought he was going to be really good. We saw him play 13 minutes last night and had to check himself out so he could go sit on the potty. So, tough night all around.
But it's not COVID.
Guys, don't worry about
that. We have ruled out COVID.
You guys are freaking out about that. He's all hopped up on the vaccine. We took two rapids and we sent one out. We're getting that results back soon.
Let's go up to New Hampshire. Justin is in Keene. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Pretty great.
I just wanted to point out two other things that I thought lost in the game last night was in the first half, like the last 5 minutes, Brunson was at three fouls and they never really attacked him to get him off the floor and put him into trouble later in the second half. And the other thing I wanted to touch on was the fact that in the last 8 minutes of the fourth quarter, the Knicks were running the same play, where Brunson would bring the ball up, Hart would set the pick, and then all of a sudden Horford was left on him all alone. And instead of switching that up to maybe make Derek White be the guy to switch off onto him, I really felt that hurt him, and that was poor coaching on my part.
Here's the thing. You can't really switch that up. I mean, unless you want to take Horford off the floor, you can't really switch that up. The Knicks are the ones hunting matchups, which to me makes Tatum frustrating. Brunson was hunting Horford. He makes a good point. And the Knicks are dictating that. There's only so much you can do. This is why when people used to go nuts about Marcus Smart, not to bring this up, Keith.
Here we go.
But it's like, how valuable is a defensive player of the year when all you got to do is bring over a pick and you can go
now
hide the guy in the corner?
Yeah,
like, how valuable is that?
Yeah, right.
And so Brunson was hunting matchups. He was hunting Horford last night. And he was hitting threes. I mean, he was settling too, in fairness. But he's hunting Horford. Tatum's sitting there. He should be hunting Brunson. He should be hunting Towns when they're on the floor, especially when they're in foul trouble, to the caller's point.
Yeah.
And he's settling for fallaway threes when he's 6'9" and muscled up.
It is amazing when you look back on it that the Celtics were up 16 at the half, and both Towns and Brunson had three fouls each. And then you even extend the lead to 20, and you lose the game.
Hart was in foul trouble right away. Hart had to sit, I think, before the end of the first quarter. He had to go right at it. They had them all in foul trouble.
Pretty insane. And then just, you know, we've been dwelling about the missed threes and everything else. Now, they weren't making a lot of threes in the first half. However, the 3-2 attempt was like a normal kind of thing. It was like 50-50, basically, in the first half. Second half,
they got in halftime. They're like, let's ratchet this up.
They're like, guys, this isn't working. It's like, you're up by 16. They're like, no. So in the second half, they took 41 shots in the second half. Do you know how many two-point attempts in the second half?
Second half and...
Seven!
That's right.
Is that it?
That's correct. Well done, Joe.
So I think...
They took 7 twos in the second half.
I think if you extrapolate it out to overtime, it's only 12. And that includes on 49 total shots.
No, like in the overtime, they actually took almost as many as they did in the third and fourth quarter. Yeah, it was more balanced in overtime. But in the second half, as they're watching that lead slip away, they just come down. They're like, I got it. I'll take it from here.
Nice work.
So
some of that is Missoula. Some of it is. But there's a lot of settling by the players on the floor, starting with Tatum. So you can jump in on that, 617-779-7937. We asked you earlier, do we now have a series to deal with against the New York Knicks in round two? I'll add another question for you. How are you feeling about the Celtics and their chances of repeating based on dropping a game against Orlando, down 0-1 against the New York Knicks, and taking a survey of the rest of the NBA playoff field, where, in fairness, all of the higher seeds are down 1-0. We'll mix that in with Tier Tuesday at 11:30. Biggest losers in sports. We also have another pair of tickets to give away on a 2 for Tuesday at 11:30. You want to go to the Red Sox and the Braves. Stay tuned. We'll do that coming up a little over half an hour from now.